of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm going to give a very short sermon because I know it's a school day. We also have our conference, and we're on a time-constrained schedule. And before I give this sermon, a good preacher, a good priest, has to look at his congregation and see what they need. If I look at you and you look like you haven't had your morning cup of coffee, I better change my sermon to keep everybody awake. If you give something that's purely theoretical or abstract, we'll put you all back into a sleep, and we don't want to do that. I would like to just relate two stories. Oftentimes when we read out of a spiritual book, we read of miracles that happened a long, long time ago. 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago, 200 years ago. And we sometimes think that miracles just don't happen today. They just don't happen. But there are circumstances and situations that occur that are miraculous. And one of them I'd like to relate to you because it was only like 20 years ago. There was a plane crash that occurred in Sioux City, Iowa. That's about 2 hours north of Omaha. It was 1988, I believe. I had been in Omaha for 2 years. And the Sioux City Journal, or whatever the name of the newspaper is, had a full back page article on a particular family. And it was very fascinating. They tell the mother's story, who was back at home in Denver, and then the son, her son, who was like 13, who was on that flight that crashed, heading to Chicago. The mother says that she was in a meeting that morning, and somebody opened the door of the room that they were in, tapped her on the shoulder, says, "I need to talk to you outside." And she said, I forget what the woman's name was, I think it was Carol. Carol, you should look on the news. There was a plane crash. It was a United flight out of Denver. And it may have been the flight your son was on. She felt like she had her heart torn right out of her. Could have been my son on that flight. She goes to her car, quickly starts up the car to go home, turns on the radio, and it's the first thing she catches on the radio. And then it really hits her. It's that flight. She knew the flight number, and it was going from Denver to Chicago. And there's no mistake now, it is her son on that plane. She drives home, runs into the house, turns on the news, and they keep repeating. They show the footage of the plane crash landing on the airport runway. And she just completely breaks down. Her friends are now coming over, neighbors coming over. You know, we got word, we're really sorry, they're trying to support her. Then the article goes to what's the boy doing. He's on his flight, heading to Chicago, and he's looking forward to have a nice time with his relatives in Chicago. And then he hears an explosion that just literally shakes the plane. And he looks at the flight attendants. They have a very worried look, and they're on the phone talking to the pilot. And no sooner did that occur than another explosion occurs. And the pilot says, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is your pilot. We are experiencing some very severe mechanical difficulties. We're not going to make it to Chicago, but we have clearance to land in Sioux City, Iowa. Because of these mechanical difficulties, the flight attendants are going to show you how to brace yourself because we are lacking some of the hydraulics to steer this plane down. But if you would just please do exactly what they tell you to do." So the flight attendants were just demonstrating how you should lean all the way to your knees and brace your arms underneath your legs and go into a braced position. When the boy heard this, he started to cry and made the sign of the cross. And this lady across the aisle said, "Are you Catholic?" He said, "Yes." She reached in under her blouse, pulled out her scapular and says, "Here, you put this on." So kid put the scapular on. As they're coming close to the runway, he can start looking out, and the plane's just tottering because the pilot does not have the controls that he needs to really land us directly and smoothly. All sorts of emergency, you know, fire engines, ambulances, was just packed on either side of the airport, on either side of the runway. And as they're coming very close to landing, the plane's still going about 100 miles an hour, he hears the pilot yell, "Brace yourselves, brace yourselves." And as the boy was going down to brace himself, he saw two businessmen in front of him give each other a thumbs up. They jumped up, and they ran to the emergency door, popped it open, and both those men jumped out of the plane. And this boy momentarily thought, if this plane's going to crash, maybe that's what I should do. He unbuckled his seatbelt, and he jumped out of the plane. It goes back to the mother. The mother is watching this plane, you know, the footage on the TV, and they're, you know, explaining who, you know, there's some survivors, we're not sure who, there's quite a few people dead, etc. And they're still in the process of rescuing everybody, and she's just dying for a phone call. Now with the boy, he says all that he can remember, as soon as he jumped out, all of a sudden, his body is going as fast as the plane, about 100 miles an hour. He just says, I kept doing somersaults. I thought I'd never stop. I was just flipping around doing somersaults. And he had on his body the same type of burns a motorcyclist who wipes out and, you know, skids on the pavement going so fast. He had those types of burns, but he rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled. After he got done rolling, he stood up momentarily and fell back, but he stood up long enough for the emergency people to see him and go get him. And the interesting thing is this. He gets to the hospital. He has severe burns, friction burns all over his body. They know he's going to live. He's not in critical condition. It's you know, serious condition, not critical condition. So the hospital then finds out who this boy is, call his mother. When the phone rings, everyone runs to the phone. The mother says, I need to take this in my bedroom, and I want to be by myself. He gets the consoling words, your son's alive, but should come right away to Sioux City. We'll make all arrangements for you. When can you get to the airport? We're going to fly you in, and et cetera, et cetera. So her son lived. But the interesting thing is this. The burns on his body verify that he was outside the plane. He did actually jump. It wasn't like he got thrown from the plane when the plane crashed. But the very last line of that article, full back page article, it said about the scapular protecting and saving him. I mean, what are the chances of him not breaking his neck or something very severely happening to him and didn't happen at all? That's one of the things that I think is a little miracle, and that it ended up in a newspaper I think was pretty neat. But there is another interesting story, and I think I may have related it in the past, but we have a number of new people here. There's a family up in London, Canada. They attend our mass, and the father, he was a welder, a very good welder, and he was up on a high-rise welding some beams in place. And as the boom was lifting up another beam to bring to him so he could weld it in place, it got too close to a power line. The voltage from the power line arced through the beam and hit this man. He got jolted with how many volts, I don't know, but this literally burned his clothes right off of him. He was severely burned all over his body. The amazing thing is this. Well, there's a safety device when such an occurrence happens. There's like a breaker switch that cuts off all power to the power line. It was just a momentary getting zapped with an excessive amount of voltage. The amazing thing is that even though his clothes were burned, his scapular was untouched. And the doctors and nurses, this got around the hospital, they said they wanted to come in and see the holy cloth. They didn't know what a scapular was, but they wanted to see the holy cloth. And his name was Guy Blanger. And I know his children very well. His girls went to our school. One of them still in school in Omaha. But there's nothing less than a miracle. The doctors don't know how in the heck he could have been hit with so much voltage and not been electrocuted. How all his clothes could be burned and that the scapular remains untouched. Is that something you're going to read in USA Today or see on CNN or Fox News? No. But nonetheless, it is definitely something that doctors couldn't explain how he's not dead and how that scapular did not get burned in the face of all the other parts of his body getting severely burned and his clothes burning, and just an amazing thing. But miracles do still happen. They may not be publicized. And let us remember this. All things are possible with God. There's nothing impossible to God. and how important it is when we pray with great confidence. Is there a particular intention that really is dear to our heart? Pray with great confidence and pray with perseverance. I'm going to probably get this name wrong, but there is a miraculous image of Jesus as a child in Mexico. Atocha, I think that's the name of it. Jesus of Atocha, I think that's it. If I said it wrong, I apologize. But from 1991 to 1999, when Bishop Carmona died, I would go down to Mexico very frequently, sometimes several times a year for ordinations, confirmations, etc. After one mass and confirmations, this woman came up to me and says, she's speaking in Spanish, I need to tell you something. So I listened, and there was a translator there. And she said, you know, my husband and I, when we got married, we were very poor. And we were so excited when we were going to have our first baby. And we prayed to the child Jesus of Atocha. We prayed every day on our knees. We were in a very small one-room home. And we only had a picture that we put a thumbtack into the wall, and that's where we knelt down to pray for a safe delivery for our first baby. And she said when she was, you know, definitely going to be delivering, they went and got the doctor, he came to the home, and she said when the baby was born, the doctor says, I'm sorry, your baby's dead. And she began to sob. And she looked at that picture where she was laying in the living room as one-room house. She looking at that picture of Jesus and thinking, I prayed every single day for this. This is our first baby. And she was looking at that picture and Jesus, why did this happen? And she's just sobbing. Well, they were a very, very poor family. The doctor checked out the baby. No pulse, no blood pressure, no. Put the baby in some newspapers and wrapped it up, because they were so poor. And the doctor's kind of putting his things together, trying to console the woman. And she was not even paying attention to the doctor. She was looking right at that image of Jesus. Now this is where this woman's telling me the story, and her just tears just come profusely down her cheeks. She says, Monsignor, she says, that thumbtack came off the wall, and a picture came down. It wasn't in a frame, so it floated down. It landed right on a newspaper that wrapped up my baby. And the doctor is right about to leave, taking his bag. He looks. The newspaper is moving. And she was, I mean, this time, she was just totally, and this happened, she says, this happened 23 years ago. My son, you know, he lived and was my first child. And she says, there's nothing short of a miracle of that. And the doctor said, there's no explanation. He says, I don't know why. He says, I am sure this baby was dead, born dead, no ifs, ands, buts about it. But the newspaper started to move, and the doctor caught a glance like, what in the world's going on here? He took the picture off, unwrapped the newspaper, baby was alive. Now, this woman, she wasn't crazy, she wasn't hysterical, she seemed like a really normal person, you know, everyday person, but not somebody you think was, a little bit, you know, something doesn't quite go up to the top floor on her head. No, she wasn't like that at all. She was very, very normal, and her very articulate and very exact about what happened. But she just said, you know, she was brought right to the edge of like being so depressed and so discouraged that she lost her first baby. And in an instant, she kept looking at that and just asking Jesus why. And like that, baby was alive. So let us never have a lack of trust and confidence in the power of God. He's almighty, omnipotent, and also the powerful intercession of our Blessed Mother. And let us remember to wear her scapular and pray her rosary every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.